We want to take just a moment here to hear from the Lord, from His Word. And so, if you have found that, Mark chapter number 10, and you're able to, would you mind standing for the reading of God's Word here? Mark chapter number 10, we're going to look at verse number 13 and following. It says this, Mark 10, 13, it says, "And they brought young children to Him, that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, He put His hands upon them, and He blessed them." Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in this service tonight, Lord. We're thankful for this pastor. We're thankful for this congregation. Lord, I'm thankful for the young people and their testimonies tonight. I'm thankful for their message and song. But Lord, tonight we've got a few minutes left and we want to hear from You, from Your Word. So I ask that You would just give me the words to say, God. I ask that You would give us all ears that would listen and that we would apply the truths from Your Word to our lives, God. And we ask all these things in Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I just want to, for a few minutes, I just want to share with you a thought that comes from this passage here. And really, the title of my message, the theme of my message tonight is this: Why Children's Ministries? Think about that for a second. Why Children's Ministries? Now, certainly, I'm talking about a place called Hope Children's Home and other children's homes and orphanages and things like that. But that's not what not exclusively what I'm talking about. When I say why children's ministries, I'm talking about even in our churches, even in your church here, why children's ministries? What's the point? What's it all about? And so tonight I have just three real simple thoughts that I want to share with you to answer that question of why children's ministries. The first point, the first thought I have is this. Why children's ministries? Well, number one, because God greatly cares for children. Well, God loves children. There's no doubt about it. We can even see in the Bible many times where the Lord and God has commanded us to train and to teach and to reach children. I jotted down just a few of them. I found Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life." Now listen here. He says, "But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, a familiar passage. He says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." But then he says this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house," and so on. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Joel 1, verse number 3 says, "Tell ye your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." And so we could see here, and I have many more, I won't take for time's sake to read those, but we can see in the Bible where God commands, He doesn't just suggest it, He doesn't just kind of throw it out there in hopes that maybe we might do it, but the Lord has commanded us once and time again to train up our children, to reach this generation, to tell our children of it, to remind our children of the things that God has done in our lives and in our grandparents' lives, to make sure that they understand, in turn, they can tell their children and their children of it. So why children's ministries? Because God loves children, and we see that. We can see in the Bible oftentimes that the Lord used children, even at their young age, to accomplish His work. Now, I was thinking of Moses there in Exodus chapter number 2, where Moses was really had a death sentence on him. He was to be killed. And through a series of events, the Lord in His grace and His intervention actually allowed that little boy Moses to grow up in the house of Pharaoh, if you can believe that. You know the story. And it would be assumed that in that house of Pharaoh, that Moses, as a child, growing up, he probably had access to all of the greatest education, all the leadership training, all the things that God would eventually use to lead His people out of bondage, out of slavery. But Moses received that training when he was a child. I thought of Samuel. How many of you remember the story of Samuel? His mother wanted to have a son, but she couldn't. She could not have children. And so each year she would come and she would pray and she would literally beg God, saying, God, if you give me a son, then I'll give him back to you and I'll give him to your service. And the Lord eventually blessed her and she had a son. And when he was probably 4 or 5 years old, she came to Shiloh as she did every year. And she dropped off that little boy Samuel there to work with Eli, the old priest. And the Bible says, and I love this there, the Bible says that he worshiped the Lord. Speaking of not Eli, but speaking of Samuel. And as a little boy, God used Samuel. I thought of the little girl in Naaman's house. Do you remember the story of Naaman? Naaman had leprosy. And again, there's another death sentence. There was no cure for this. Once you contracted this disease, you were as good as dead. There was nothing you could do to save yourself. And in the midst of trying to figure out what Naaman's going to do, there was a little girl. She's not even named in the scriptures. And I can kind of see her in the background. She just raises her hand and she says, hey, I know about a man of God that can do something, that can help you. But God used her. And I could go on. I thought of Josiah, the little boy. He's 8 years old when he becomes king of a great nation. And he didn't come and sit on a throne that of a nation that was just worshiping God and that had put God first. He actually sat on the throne of a nation that had turned their back on God and they had turned to idols. And not just for a few years, but for many years. And Manasseh was the king before the two before him, and he was a king for 55 years. And then his son came and his son was murdered. And now Josiah sits on this throne. But can I just tell you that God, as an 8-year-old boy, used that 8-year-old boy to make a difference in that kingdom. And so, what are you saying, Brother Matt? I'm saying this. I'm saying that God loves children. God uses children. And then we get to Mark chapter number 10. And I love this passage. Mark chapter number 10, because for me, I really see this as really just the heart of God opening up is what I think of when I see this as it relates to children. And the scene here in Mark chapter number 10 that we read is the Lord, he's no doubt preaching, he's teaching, he's ministering there to a crowd. And if you're like me, I kind of picture the Bible. It kind of comes to life when I'm reading it. And so I picture the Lord sitting there maybe on a rock or on the hillside, and he's preaching to this crowd, to this multitude of people. And then also I picture over here maybe to the side, I picture in my mind a dad. And I don't know why I picture it this way. You can picture it how you want, but this is how I picture it. There's a dad there, and he's trying to get his children up to see Jesus. And I don't know where this dad had come across Jesus on his own, but he evidently knew about Jesus and wanted his children to be introduced and get close to Jesus. And so I kind of picture this dad corralling his children up as the Lord's over here teaching, and he's maybe even trying to push the crowd a little bit to get these boys and his girls up close to Jesus. But the Bible says that when the disciples saw what was going on, the Bible says that the disciples rebuked those that brought the children unto him. I don't know what they said, but maybe it was something like this. Hey, what are you doing here? Don't you see that Jesus is teaching? Don't you see that Jesus is preaching? Don't you see that Jesus is busy about his ministry? What are these children doing here? Get these children back. Almost as if these kids are in the way. And so as this is going on, then Jesus is over here, and out of the corner of his eye, he kind of catches what's going on. And the Bible says, but when Jesus saw it, he was, what's the next 2 words? Do you remember? Much displeased. When Jesus saw what the disciples were doing, he wasn't displeased at the dad bringing the kids. He was displeased, much displeased at the disciples, because the disciples were pushing these children out of the way. And then the Lord says, suffer, or that word means allow. Allow the children to come unto me. Forbid them not. So he's the opposite of the disciples. Where the disciples were pushing them away and rebuking those, Jesus said, hey, that's not the way it works. Suffer, allow the children to come unto me, forbid them not. Then verse number 16, you have your Bibles open. Look there, what does it say? I kind of picture Jesus sitting there, and he says this, the Bible says this, and he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. You know, as Jesus is sitting there and he's teaching, he saw what was going on, he was much displeased, he said, allow the children to come unto me. And then I can kind of just picture God there as he brings these young people up. The Bible says he put his arms upon them, and he blessed them. Could you imagine what a wonderful picture that is of how the Lord viewed children? Where the disciples were saying, hey, this is an adult thing. Hey, this is a ministry. Hey, this is a preaching time. Jesus said, bring the children unto me. Let me have a moment with them. I almost feel like the Lord was making a point there to say, hey, these children, this is what it's about. Don't cast these children aside. Bring them in. And I love that passage there. So why children's ministries? Well, number one, because we can see God loves children. And if there's something that we know from Scriptures that God loves, man, that ought to be our heartbeat as well. And so why children's ministries? Well, one, because God loves children. But secondly, because it's a large missions field. It's a large missions field. We've traveled some 3,300 miles, been in many different cities this week. Guess what we found out? Everywhere we've been, there's children. And I've had the opportunity, like many of you, to travel all different states and many different countries. And guess what? Everywhere I go, there's children. There was a study that went out by the Child Evangelism Fellowship several years ago, and they said this. They said that 30% of the world's population is under the age of 15. 30% of the world's population is under the age of 15. Now, I like statistics and things like that, and so I did the math and figured out what's the population of the earth. But here's what I figured out. I figured out you could take the country of China, which is the most populated country in all the earth, and you could empty it out completely of no people, just all gone, and refill China back with children that are under the age of 15, and you could refill China and still have over 700 million children left. See, children, it's a large missions field. And then I want to move on because I want to get to this point and spend a little bit of time here. Why children's ministries? Well, because God loves children. And two, because it's a large missions field. But can I tell you this? Number three, it's a great missions field. Why children's ministries? Why bus ministries? Why vacation Bible schools? Why Sunday school? Why nursery? Why all of these children's ministries? What's the point? Well, because it's a great missions field. And I would tell you there's a few reasons why. One of them is this. I think that when you're dealing with young people, when you're dealing with children, the fields are ripe and they're ready for harvest. The fields are ripe and ready for harvest. There was a study. I read across this in a journal. And there was an evangelist who preached many different revival meetings. And this one particular meeting, he wasn't preaching. He was sitting where you are in the pews and listening to someone else preach. And the preacher at that time said this. And it kind of struck something with that evangelist. The preacher said, nearly every person that was saved in our churches was saved as a child. Nearly every person in our churches was saved as a child. And that evangelist sat there in his pew and he thought to himself, well, I would say, certainly agree with the majority or a lot, but to say almost every single person in our churches was saved as a child, he said, I don't know if I believe that. And so he went in his revival meetings over the next several weeks, and he polled over 10,000 people, and he simply asked them this. He said, hey, what age were you when you accepted Christ as your Savior? He polled over 10,000 people in 30 different meetings across 6 different states, and he found out this, and I could give you all the statistics, but essentially what he found out was that 92% of all the people that he polled in his churches, 92% of them were saved before the age of 20. 92%. And I thought that was fascinating. In fact, let's just do a little impromptu poll here tonight. How many of you in this church were saved before the age of 20? Raise your hand. Okay, now keep them up. Now everyone just kind of look around real quick. Everyone keep your hand up. Can we say that that's probably just about the same? About 90% of us in this room were saved before the age of 20. So what am I getting at here? What am I getting at? I'm getting at this. Is that statistically, if we don't reach these at this age, if we don't reach people at a young age, statistically, there's a great chance that they will die and never accept Christ as their Savior. Statistically. Now, I know the Lord can change any heart at any age, and I'm not underestimating that, but I'm just thinking statistically, if we don't reach this generation, if we don't reach these as a young child, there's a great chance that they'll live their entire life and they'll die never knowing Christ as their Savior. You see, the fields are ripe and ready for harvest when you're dealing with young people. Another reason I think it's a great ministry, a great missions field, is because they have a life ahead of them that's full of potential service for the Lord. You know, think about that. When we reach this generation, when we reach them at 8 or 10 or 12 years old, they've got a life ahead of them that they can dedicate to the service of the Lord. And today, maybe at this invitation, there's an adult here in the auditorium. Maybe he's 40 years old, and he comes down to this altar, and he comes to know Christ as his Savior. Man, that would be fantastic. We would be excited. The angels would be rejoicing. But the simple fact of the matter is that at age 40, he's lost 40 years of his life to the Lord. There's 40 years gone that he can't dedicate to the service of the Lord. And so this is a great missions field. Children's ministries is important because they can dedicate that whole life ahead of them for service for the Lord. Now, time is running short, so let me just wrap this up. We just say, well, Brother Matt, that sounds great. I understand what you're saying, but what's the application? What does this mean to me? Well, I would say this. I would say that every person in this auditorium, young or old, every person in this auditorium ought to be and needs to be involved in reaching the next generation for Christ. It's not an obligation to the pastor or the pastoral staff. It's not an obligation to the select few that are Sunday school teachers. I would submit to you that no matter who you are in this auditorium tonight, you have an obligation to do your part to reach the next generation for Christ. The interesting thing about that is that it starts in your own home. You know, you ought to raise your children in church. You ought to raise your children in the things of the Lord. I know I might be preaching to the choir on a Sunday night, but can I just tell you this? Every time the church doors are open, you ought to have your children in service. You ought to be in service as well. You ought to support your church, support your pastor. In your homes, myself included in this, we ought to surround our homes around the things of the Lord. You know what? It's one thing for a Sunday school teacher to teach it and the pastor to preach it, but it's a whole other thing when little boy and little girl see mom and dad at home teaching it and living it. It makes a big impact in their life. So it starts in your own home, but then from there it moves out to your community and into your churches. Hey, you ought to be involved here in your church in reaching this next generation. Now, I've not talked to your pastor. I don't know what children's ministries you have here. But whatever it is, I would say, get involved in it. And you say, well, Brother Matt, I'm older and I just can't do that. I don't have the ability. Hey, you can certainly be a part of it through, one, your missions giving, and through your giving in the church, but also through your prayer. So essentially, every person in here can have a part and to play a part in reaching this next generation. Can I just tell you this, and I'll spend a minute here, but you know, this might be the exception, this church. I don't know. But can I just tell you, the typical church in America, the pastor is in constant need of people to help in Sunday school, in bus ministry, in van routes, or whatever the case might be, nursery workers. If you do Awanas or something along those lines, most pastors in our churches in our country in America are looking for and just needing people in their church to get involved. And the pastor will oftentimes get up from the pulpit and he'll make announcements and he'll kind of say, "We need nursery workers, or we need junior church workers, or we need Sunday school teachers, we need Sunday school assistants." And then the pastor sometimes he'll have to resort to the "let me guilt you into it" way. And so he'll go to you personally and say, "Hey, would you pray about this? Would you get involved?" And kind of makes you feel a little bit. Listen, that's kind of a circus act that a pastor has to play a lot of times in their churches. And let's just be honest, okay? But if we understand the message tonight, we understand that God loves children, that we're commanded to reach this next generation, and that it's a large missions field, and that it's a great missions field, that ought to motivate us to get involved. And each one of us ought to be involved in reaching this next generation for Christ. And so, pastor really ought to have a big book on his desk that he's just labeled volunteers. And that there's so many people in his church that's coming to him that just want to help that he can't utilize everybody. And so he's kind of got this call list that as soon as someone falls away or isn't able to be there, he can just flip to the next page and say, "All right, so-and-so's next on the list. Let me call them up." That's just not the case most of the time. Most of the time, it's the opposite. The pastor's asking and begging and pleading and trying everything he can to get involved. Let me end with this thought here, because this is really the crux of the message for me, in my mind, is this. If our churches across our great country aren't reaching this generation for the Lord, can I tell you that someone will reach them for something? Somebody will reach this generation. And there's people all across America in the morning that'll wake up and they'll be strategizing on how they can reach this generation for their brand or for their product or for their philosophy or for their agendas or for their lifestyle, and they're spending millions of dollars, countless hours into research, into brainstorming on how can they reach this generation for their agendas. And then in the morning, most of us in our churches won't think two thoughts about how we can reach this generation for the Lord. And that's been happening now for several generations. And so now we have several generations that haven't been, if I can use it this way, gotten for the Lord. We haven't grabbed them for the Lord. They've been taken by other philosophies, other ways of life, other lifestyles. And so where we're at in this country, partly because us as church members, us as the church, has failed to reach this next generation. Let me end with this thought. Let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you this, very simply put, what are you, and when I say you, I mean you personally. I don't mean the pastor. I don't mean corporately as a church body. I mean you individually. What are you doing to reach this next generation? What are you doing to reach this next generation? And if you would say, oh, Brother Matt, I don't have a real great answer to that. I don't have anything to really fill in the blank there. Then can I just tell you this? Would you get in the fight? Would you join in with those that are working to reach this next generation? Maybe you need to go to your pastor during invitation or after the service and just say, hey, I couldn't really answer much to that question. I'm not really in the fight, so to speak. I'm not really doing much to reach this next generation for Christ. Can you sign me up? Can you put me somewhere? And I can just about guarantee you that the pastor will have a position and he'll have somewhere he can plug you in. If you can't answer that question with a good answer, then would you tonight make a decision that you're going to do something to get in the fight to reach this next generation? Because I love our country and I love our nation, but I'm concerned about the direction of it. But even greater than that, I'm concerned about the souls of this generation that's coming up without the Lord. What are you doing to reach this next generation for Christ? If you would, everyone stand to your feet and you can bow your head and close your eyes, and if the pianists can make their way to the piano. Just have a kickoff, an invitation. I'm going to flip it over to the pastor and he can close as he sees fit. But maybe you're here tonight and you would say, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Brother Matt, the Lord spoke to me somehow that I'm not doing enough. Maybe it's you're not teaching and helping and getting involved in the children's ministry here in this church. Maybe it's in your missions giving. Maybe it's in your own home. Maybe it's in your prayer life. I'm not doing my part to reach this next generation for Christ. And the Lord spoke to me about that. If that's you, with no one looking around, would you just raise your hand tonight? You say, I think the Lord has showed me some things I can do better in my life to help reach this next generation. As many hands across the auditorium tonight. We appreciate that. Are you here tonight? A second question. And the young people talked a lot about knowing Christ as their Savior and being saved. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never made that decision. You can't think of a time in your life where you've just accepted Christ and His free gift of salvation on the cross. And you don't know 100% for sure tonight that you're on your way to heaven if you should die, but you'd like to know more about that. Is there anyone here tonight that would say by raising your hand, they would say, I'm not entirely sure that if I were to die today that I would spend eternity in heaven with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand? And we won't embarrass you. We just want to pray for you. Amen. Well, let me pray and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Lord, we thank you so much for this message. We thank you for the young people, their hearts, their singing, their testimonies. Lord, we're thankful for Mark chapter number 10, where we can see the Lord Himself in His heart for children. God, many hands were raised indicating that you were working in their heart about something. Lord, I ask tonight during invitation time that they would make a decision, that they would not just hear the words and not just raise their hand, but they would apply it and turn that into action, Lord. And we could see here in this community and in this neighborhood a big impact in changing lives of these young people that are surrounding us. Lord, we ask for your blessings during this time of invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.